Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeVlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back, Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. Thanks so much for being back on the show. We appreciate it. And also, yes, Danny King, crowd favorite. And, you know, we haven't seen Danny in a little while. He's still there, and he's still, you know, he does a lot of work with Critical Incident Review with Jamie Borden as well. And you've also got your own site as well. And what is the name of that? Is it American Patrolman? What is that, Danny?
It's American Patrolman. The site's temporarily down. We're doing some updates and changes in formats, but you'll be able to find me there.
All right. Change is always good. So thanks for being back on the show, Danny. Hey, and a shout out to our sponsors. Please support our sponsors, guys. They go to great lengths to bring this quality content to you. We've got our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. We also have ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeGuard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're streaming over a million followers right now during the live show. And also TwoBells.com, they built our new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. And also FisherOrlandoBass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter in Orlando. Next time you go into Orlando, hook up with Zach. You can either, here's your choices, bass fishing on a bass fishing charter or hunting the wild Florida alligator. It's catch, it's not kill. It's not release, it's relocate, Danny. So you can catch and relocate the wild Florida alligator. It's pretty cool, huh? I mean, you know, only in Florida, no. Right?
so that is a Florida thing for sure.
Yeah, it is, yeah. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich at formerlawman.com and Travis Yates, our very own, from lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, we really don't have a significant Venezuela update, so we're going to bypass that, but that's fine because we've just got so much stuff involving Minneapolis and Portland. And so I've got a bunch of stuff going on, but basically it is ICE shootings in Minneapolis and in Portland that we're going to be covering. And yeah, if you didn't know, yesterday there was a shooting of a man and a woman in a vehicle trying to run over, you know, more ICE agents, and they got taken out. They survived, from what I understand. We're going to be talking about that first. We've also got Christopher Taylor. He's been reinstated as a police officer and his license as well. We're going to talk briefly about that. Domestic violence call left a civilian and three Rochester officers injured and a suspect dead in a shootout. There's a lot going on in that one. And then Henderson officers, they shoot a suspect who stole a front loader and he tried to run over police vehicles. That's interesting. We've got 10 Florida. This makes us Florida people look bad, but it is firefighters. So what do you expect? 10 Florida first responders. And, you know, they don't want to throw firefighters under the bus. So they just say first responders. So they kind of throw in cops, everybody into that, right? But they're firefighters and they're fired. Four were charged criminally after a 19-year-old was whipped with his own belt and waterboarded outside the fire station. It's the way they roll. And then we got NYPD officers fatally shot an armed man with a box cutter during a domestic violence call. A judge rejects the Democrats' lawsuit. Remember that Alcatraz thing? The alligator Alcatraz in Florida? I know it's another Florida thing making us all look bad, but the Dems wanted to get in and do inspections and all this stuff. Well, guess what? That's not going to work out. The judge said no. Then Monterey County deputy shot an armed man through a windshield. So that's what we have. So if you guys are ready, let's start off with the deep one involving ICE shootings in Minneapolis and now in Portland. And hey, it may not be over yet. We still have these wackadoos out there, but these stories are taken from realclearpolitics.com, rvmnews.com, and also newsbreak.com. So I decided to start off with Tim Walz. You guys may remember that after the initial shooting, we have Walz just being extremely critical, you know, the governor of Minnesota. And then we've got Mayor Jacob Frey weighing in on it. You know, he's the mayor of Minneapolis. And then, of course, we've got the police chief weighing in as well. O'Hara, I think is his name, Brian O'Hara. And extremely critical. And they've automatically and prematurely condemned the officer, given reasons for, you know, him doing what he did. He just wants, I think Jacob Frey said it was like an authoritative thing. He just wanted to, you know, carry a gun and show his authority and shoot somebody. So Governor Tim Walz is now saying that he wants the feds, because they're doing the investigation and it was a federal thing. He wants them to allow Minnesota to participate in the investigation with the resources. He wants to be in the know, but he wants to have some control over this. And you got to understand, that Governor Tim Walz, who formerly was running, you know, on the ticket, you know, with Kamala Harris, he's in a world of hurt right now with all the billions and multiple billions of dollars in fraud that's been going on in that state. He's under the microscope. So anything like this comes along is a godsend for him to be able to try to get in the limelight and look good, right? And so, yeah, he wants them to allow him to get involved in this. Like, that's going to happen. And then we have our next title. ICE agent said, I do not care, when the doctor tried to help Renee Nicole Good, who's the bad girl that ended up getting shot and killed by the ICE agent. So Tim Walz is now, he's changed the narrative a little bit, because now there's got videos that are conclusively showing the officer getting hit and dragged backwards before he shoots her. And now he's saying that that immigration, well, an ICE agent basically refused to allow a doctor to provide medical aid to the woman who was fatally shot in that incident. And he said it was chilling. And speaking publicly about the incident, Walz, the governor, Tim Walz, goes on to say that he personally witnessed a medical professional identify themselves at the scene and request permission to help Renee Nicole Good, who had been shot during the operation in South Minneapolis. Now, he said he personally witnessed that, which we all know is just BS, because he wasn't there on the scene to personally witness anything. I doubt that this is true in any way, shape, or form, but let me continue. It gets better. He said, I saw an individual at the scene identify themselves as medical personnel and ask to provide aid. And an ICE agent said, I do not care. That lack of humanity was chilling to me, is what Tim Walz said. But that's all he says. It doesn't say whether he's, you know, he said he was there, but we know he wasn't. And it doesn't say whether this person really was a first, you know, someone with medical capabilities or not. We don't, you know, I heard that there were three headshots, so I don't know why it would have mattered, you know, anyhow. We don't know if the person said, hey, I want to provide help to the victim, and the guy and the ICE agent said, I don't care, like, I don't care, go ahead, you know. So there's so many things left out here, but I don't trust anything that comes out of Tim Walz's mouth, because he's already been lying so much about what's going on in Minneapolis, with the state of Minnesota, and all the Somali fraud that's been going on. And let's just jump down. Then we've got Vance, corporate media endangers law enforcement by lying about this attack on ICE in Minneapolis. So J.D. Vance is weighing in, saying the shooting and killing of American woman in Minneapolis during the event. He announced the administration is creating a new assistant attorney general to post an investigative welfare fraud nationwide. So this is taking the attention off of Minnesota. He said that the way that the media by and large has reported the story has been an absolute disgrace. It puts law enforcement officers at risk every single day, because everybody thinks the cops are the bad guys, right? And he's saying this during a White House press briefing. Goes on to say that what the headline leaves out is the fact that every ICE officer nearly had his life ended. Well, I'm sorry, the very ICE officer, the one involved in the shooting in Minneapolis, nearly had his life ended by being run over by a car 6 months ago. He had 33 stitches in his leg, which I was not aware of. And then he says, you think it might be a little bit sensitive about somebody ramming him with a vehicle. And then he said, what the headline leaves out is that the woman was there to interfere with a legitimate law enforcement operation in the United States of America. The headline also leaves out that the woman was part of a broader left-wing network to attack, dox, assault, and make it impossible for officers to do their job. Then we got Greg Gutfeld weighing in, talking about, you know, the narrative that the media is focusing on individual highlights instead of like what preceded that, like what caused things to happen. And also talks about the fact that we've got Twitter, and that's helping get out the right information. And then finally, two people shot by Border Patrol agents in Portland. If this wasn't enough, now in Portland, it happens again. We have two people shot by federal agents in Portland. The Department of Homeland Security and the shooting involved Customs and Border Patrol agents. Two people, a man and a woman, were wounded and hospitalized, according to Portland Police Chief Bob Day. And he said this at a news conference on Thursday night. Their conditions, they say, are unknown. Names have not been released. And the PCUN farm workers, they are active in this because they support immigrants, Latinos in the community. And they said that Border Patrol agents stopped the car searching for a Venezuelan they claim was was in the country illegally, and then part of the Tren de Agua gang, and said that the agents identified themselves. The driver weaponized his vehicle and attempted to run over the law enforcement agents, and fearing for their lives and safety, an officer fired a defensive shot, and the guy drove off with his passenger. And at 2:18 p.m., in the Hazelwood neighborhood in East Portland, a police officer responded to the 911 call. They confirmed agents were involved. 6 minutes later, there's another 911 call 3 miles away. Yeah, the people in the car, they ended up both being shot, had to go to the hospital. And so that's the way that went down. We've got a minute left, so whatever we start, we'll continue after the commercial break. Danny, you want to start us off on this one?
Yeah, so if we're talking about the rhetoric or the statements that have been made by the state of Minnesota already, right? I'm sure that the FBI or the local agents probably would not have minded them taking part in the investigation, but they probably didn't make that decision. It probably came from much higher and because the politics kicked in. But one of the things that you have to understand is that people are, or excuse me, feds and locals are generally distrustful of each other as it is, right? You're not going to get a tremendous amount of cooperation from the feds in one of their investigations as a local cop. I've tried it before. It just didn't work out. It took a lot of politics, and so I'm not at all surprised here.
Well, perfect timing, Danny. Commercial break, guys. Stick with us. It's going to get really, really good. A lot of new information coming out. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we buy a lot of gear, right? And then when you throw the online option, it's like it's limitless, right? But look, here's what's really important. I want to remind everybody about it. Supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk. They support dozens of focus organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And they're going to do you one better for the loyal listeners of the show. They've reactivated a radio code. It's Radio15. That'll get you 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. So again, Radio15. Type it in order to get 15% off your next purchase. And we thank you in advance. And it helps let them know that people that watch the show are actually supporting Gauls and that it's worth, you know, investing and supporting us. And they have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. Again, that is Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they're called their CD3. It stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers not only tens of thousands of times, but over 250,000 times with absolutely no injuries. You heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. When it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Make sure you watch the cool videos as well. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz and also Officer Danny King. Guys, it's an amazing topic. We're talking about the shooting in Minneapolis and then the one that happened yesterday in Portland. We do have some commentary. You know, we're streaming to over 1 million followers right now during the live show. And yeah, we've gotten a lot of commentary. And there was an interesting one about Blessings and Happiness, who is on Facebook saying that ICE needs to be abolished. But when we asked them to support that argument, silence, crickets. Danny King, I know that you were weighing in on the situations in Minneapolis and in Portland. So the floor is yours.
Yeah. So the state of Minnesota actually has a top-notch investigative arm for OIS. Is very experienced Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. Those guys are lock and cock, the ladies and gentlemen over there. They are an entity of the state. If Tim Walz is saying what he's saying, first off, you don't want people messing in your investigation. OISs are very critical. They're important. It affects what happens with the officer. It affects what happens with the agency, any criminal charges, so on and so forth. And so you want to be very careful as to who you let in and what their purpose is. I've done joint investigations before. It's always somewhat rocky because people are looking out for their interests. When I say that, they're not trying to cover things up. They're just making sure that their job gets done. Even between an internal investigation and a criminal investigation, you're going to have tension between people within the same agency to make sure that the investigation takes place in accordance with whatever that team's objective is. So if Tim Walz is condemning it, and make no mistake, anyone who says, I watched the video, this is a crime, and they're making their assumptions or their conclusions based just on that video, is woefully wrong, right? You think like they need to be disregarded. You cannot watch a video and come to a conclusion. It just cannot happen. Every time I've done it, I have been smacked in the face. And, you know, even if I give a few pointers, people will call and I'll say, well, you know, did this happen? Did this happen? Because that's why you may have seen what you saw. They go, no, that's not what happened. Oh, okay. And then you get corrected. So I'm not surprised that the feds won't let him in. The city of Minneapolis, I'm unsure of their investigative capabilities, but I will tell you this: shootings in and around officer or shootings in and around vehicles is extremely controversial, and next to no one knows how to do it. And what the things you're looking for, you've already seen in the popular media, you know, the various issues that people are talking about is you just jumped out of the way, the person was escaping, so on and so forth. So law enforcement doesn't understand shootings around vehicles, and the public certainly doesn't understand it themselves.
Thanks. Chief Schultz.
I tell you, I have been a little reluctant to do a lot of reading about these shootings, because the misinformation and twisted information is so prevalent. And I just point out a few. There was an attorney that made a Facebook post that said, you know, he was obviously out of policy because police officers are taught never to shoot at a moving vehicle. That's not true. Some former government officials said that, you know, they should have de-escalated. That was not a de-escalation situation. It just wasn't. I mean, so, man, step out of the car. Let's talk about this. That couldn't happen. So that's somebody that didn't know what they were talking about. And then somebody else quoted the federal use of force standard, that deadly force has to be the last resort, that exclusion, everything else, every other option has to be excluded. Now, technically, that is the federal standard, and thank God the George Floyd Act did not pass, because that would have imposed that standard on all law enforcement. That was a Biden era post George Floyd policy change. And certainly it should be an extreme situation when we use deadly force. We all know that. But to say that you have to anticipate all the other hundreds of possibilities of maybe I could have done this, that is not legally necessary. Then some other commentator said, asked the question, an NPR reporter said, well, we understand that that officer in the Minneapolis situation had an encounter with a vehicle in the past, but you can't use that to make your decision now. And I'm like, no, you use your experience and your training. And if having a bad experience with a vehicular assault is part of your experience, and you've looked at that and done an after action and thought about that, and what am I going to do next time? That's absolutely part of the thinking process, subconsciously, if not consciously. And for the and it was interesting to watch the Portland thing was particularly frustrating, because they had this phalanx of everybody that wanted to get a soundbite and a picture in the media. I mean, there was like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir behind the speakers there, and they all wanted their moment. And they were all talking about stuff as though they knew what happened. Well, let me tell you, they didn't know what happened. We don't absolutely know all of the things that happened in the Minneapolis shooting. Kristi Noem didn't know. The Governor Walz didn't know. We can talk in general, and you've had some of the best commentators in the world on the show this week on these issues. But and I'm, you know, on the B team, I would say I'm up there in terms of force analysis. And unless you know trajectories and physics and environment and crowds and videos and the distortions that can happen with video and the distortions that can happen in the thinking and crisis response, we won't know until all of those charts and graphs and analysis and interrogations and video reviews are done. And even then, can we know what that officer knew or felt he knew? And, you know, we don't have to be right when we make these decisions. Even taking a life, we don't have to be right. It's great if we are. We only have to be reasonable. That's the Fourth Amendment standard.
You know, good point. You know, and I didn't throw this in, but you just you said something, Chief, that kicked in. And I remember that in Oregon, the attorney general, like you said, Dan Rayfield, already announced on social media that the office is open to a formal. They're opening a formal investigation on the shooting of the feds. And then we got Governor Tina Kotek, is that we are all shaken, outraged by yet another terrible, unnecessary, violent, you know, event. So they're already throwing the investigation and the officers, you know, under the bus. But guys, commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Precision, or Aero Defense by Aero Precision, at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market already at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence that's now being tailored for the civilian customer. That means you can start getting your hands on the Primo stuff. And they also have an M5 AR three-weight platform. Spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block. I'm your host. We've got Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief, and also Officer Danny King. He's with FloridaPatrolman.com and also with Critical Incident Review. We're talking about a sensitive topic here, but we're talking about not only Minneapolis, but we're talking about the ICE shooting also in Portland as well that happened yesterday. And, you know, Danny and Dr. Joel have been adding in some very important stuff. I think it's important, even though I know we've got other stories on the table, we're getting ready to head into the weekend. And I don't know, you know, with all the misinformation going on out there, which Danny's alluded to, I don't want people doing stupid things or making bad decisions or just coming up with a wrong thought process, and it gets ingrained. And then, you know, 2 months from now, when the information comes out that should totally change their mind, they're resistant to do that because for 2 months they've been under the wrong impression that's filled with, you know, unverified, unvetted data. Chief Schultz, I know you were talking with the commercial break.
You know, I think the political reality is that the antagonists with the leftist propaganda in Oregon and in Minnesota are making some headway into the public. So their narratives are being nibbled and accepted in bit by bit by more and more of public. And that frightens me. Walz was bold enough to say that he was going to deploy his National Guard against federal officers. That's crazy talk. But maybe it's time to at least examine tactics, because obviously the OPSEC, operational security, in the planning stage, has had monumental failures with the protesters and the people that are doing intel against the operations, and the force protection element of a mission. We're going to have to do something different to protect the officers that are engaged in these things. You can't just be so mission focused that you forget that one of your missions is to protect your people so that you can accomplish the mission. So we've seen some things there. And maybe it's time, and it pains me to say this, and I'm sure it would be manipulated, but at least to say, maybe we need to negotiate with local law enforcement to say, what really are you going to be doing while we're out there? It galls me to no end to hear somebody like Walz say, we want to be involved in the investigation. Well, you've already told the feds you don't want to have anything to do with the operation. You don't want to have anything to do with enforcing the law. But if something goes south, which is partly our responsibility because we did not assist as we morally, ethically, legally should have, but now we want to investigate it. I noticed that the chief in Portland, in his portion of the press conference, was really careful to say, we're going to be doing what we need. We're going to be present during the investigative process, but we didn't have anything to do with immigration enforcement. So he's walking a political line you know, to keep his job. And I know it's tough. I've tried to straddle that line before, and I fell off the fence both times. Then he has to listen to these other government officials in Portland saying, well, this was murder. And by the way, the two Venezuelan gang member traffickers that were shot in Portland had already been involved in a shooting. That violence didn't attract anybody's attention. But when they were apprehended after resistance, that somehow was gun violence and something that deserves criminal charges. The hypocrisy and I understand the right, the conservative commentators have to get in there and say their presuppositions, because the politicians and the media that are anti-ICE have such a loud and strong voice. But it's too bad, as you said, Chip, that at least I hope our listeners and viewers, your listeners and viewers, I can't say I possess them, but are stay open-minded. And, yeah. You know, when people ask me, what do you think about this thing? I said, I don't know. We don't know all the facts. I can give you some general things about shooting at vehicles and about assault and about deadly force and about weapon use and about reaction time. And you know, I can talk in generalities. But we don't know how all that's going to be applied to this particular thing until we get the hundreds of pages of documents that will perhaps be presented in court. And by the way, I know you've talked about this before, Chip, and I have too. There's no such thing as law enforcement absolute immunity.
Qualified,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So somebody looked, I didn't put it in there because I didn't want to get it out there in a conversation going, but that's fine. But we should probably kill that off now. And I believe it was the Tim Walz article, or there were two Tim Walz articles on this. They had quoted the feds, and I believe it was the DOJ or someone. I don't think they gave a name, but they said that the feds were saying that the officer was going to get absolute immunity, which is hogwash. That is reserved for like judges and prosecutors. We get qualified immunity, and you only get it if you qualify for it, and you've got to go to the court to qualify for it. And it's not even on the table at this point, because I suspect there's not going to be any criminal investigation qualified immunity is really a civil component for mostly civil investigations. But but anyhow, that was just told. And that's another reason why I don't believe anything comes out of Tim Walz's mouth. If that was in fact from his mouth, which I think that it was in that article that it was released, you know, Danny, to kind of wrap this up, I know that I put out the new video. The video was out there from a distance, but someone has zoomed in. It is distorted a little. Now you can still see that it's the cop and stuff, and it shows what happened from a much better angle. So there were initially one video out that you couldn't really see squat. There was another video that you could see what went down, but the officer trying to get in the car that tried to extract the driver, the female driver, he was in the way of the shooting officer, and so that's video number two. And video number two, which showed me enough where I thought that this is probably going to be justified. You see the female in the car, her, she backs up initially. They're still trying to extract her. Her vehicle tires are rotated all the way to the left. And the cop that ends up shooting her comes around from the other side, from the right side, the passenger side, walks around the front, and when he's in front of the vehicle, then she, you know, if she steps on the gas, she's going to go forward to the left, not towards him. But at some point before she steps on the gas, she rotates the tires to the right, which means she would have hit him. Now, I don't know if he was aware of that or not, but it's a good possibility that when he walked in front of the car, he looked at the tires and said, hey, they're pointing towards the left and stuff. But then he drew, and then you actually see from the new body camera where they zoom in, even though it's distorted, you can see that she ends up accelerating. He's got his hand on the hood, and she's pushing him backwards and dragging him, and then he ends up shooting. But she actually hits him with the vehicle. And it's like, I saw that video, I'm thinking, crap, that's not what happened. I doubted that it was a legit video. I posted on LinkedIn. I've already got people saying, is that really the real video? And some guy said, no, it's not the same video. Well, guess what? It's not the same video. It's the same exact incident, though. I even looked at the cars that I saw lined up along the street, and I said, I don't remember those cars being there. I compared it to the other video. Guess what? That big old white cargo van with the big window in the back, and it is the same sequence, the same event, the same vehicles there, the same backdrop. Everybody's in the proper place. I'm convinced that, and I believe, I mean, you know, I can't say emphatically, but it's the same freaking incident. It's a legit video, and it's a little distorted because they had the zoom in from a distance, but people are discounting that. So we're just trying to get all the information out there. Final words on this, Danny?
Yeah, you know what? Go ahead.
I only need to interrupt you because I'm on a laptop and just not plugged in, and I'm probably going to disappear because I'm going to run out of battery power. So it's going to be your show here in a minute.
Okay.
But I just want to say that, you know, every police shooting is an anomaly. With about a million cops out there, maybe 750,000, 800,000, we don't know, and how many tens of thousands of federal agents we have out there, and maybe a thousand shootings. You have maybe a million contacts a day by police officers, and you hear commentators say, well, it seems like more and more shootings. No, it's a very rare thing, and particularly when you're dealing with violent criminals as as ICE has been. So.
Well, thank you, Chief. I think we came to the limit of his internet ability. Danny King, any closing words on this one?
Yeah. So one of the things that has to happen, it's very technical to conduct this investigation. But there's various videos out there. There's drone video that's out there. There's not drone videos out there. There's a freeze frame of a drone video. And if you watch the video from the initial video that's released, she does cut her vehicle, cut her tires, just like you're talking about. But when she does so, she essentially backs up, and then at that point, she aims the car at the ICE agent. So he's standing off what appears to be the front right of the car, not in front of it. But so if he's standing here, what essentially happens is she throws it in reverse and then aims it at him, then cuts the wheel towards him. So, you know, the question that people use.
Hold that thought. Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. Here we go. All right, guys. Time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Fantastic opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Officer Danny King. And yes, we've been talking about the ICE shooting involving Minneapolis and the new one involving, yes, Portland. And, you know, I'm just looking here. Before we just came back from radio, I saw a post from John Spaulding. Maybe the officers should throw tampons at the criminals. And that, of course, is a reference to Tampon Tim Walz, the governor of. I thought you're not smiling, Danny. I thought that was pretty funny, but you know myself. So
I'm not here for the politics of it, Chip.
Okay. Well, I don't know. That was political. Well, maybe a little political. All right. And thanks for entering the contest, Alan. Appreciate it. And actually, it looks like George Ishak as well and some other guys are entering that contest. So good deal, guys. Any final words you want to say? Are you ready to move on to another component?
Well, you know what? King? I'm not sure what I was saying before I was rudely interrupted, but, you know, it's just one of those things that understand there's people that have different perspectives on it, but it is not as simple as your perspective. It just doesn't work out that way.
You were talking about what is necessary in the investigation and how it's just going to be, it's just not a easy peasy kind of investigation in order to get down to the nuts and bolts of what actually happened.
And then at the end of the day, it comes down to the perception of the officer, right? So the officer essentially has two choices. One, wait and see what happens, in which case he may not have gotten run over. But the second is he gets run over. Right. In any part of him, he gets seriously injured. And so if the chance is there that he's going to get seriously injured, now I'm talking about in general, not in this case, then it is common for law enforcement officers to use deadly force. Whether he should have moved, could have moved, any of those other things, that is something that's yet to be determined. But, you know, like I said, it's way more complex. There's a lot of people out there screaming and yelling and frustrated and hurt, and that's normal. That's okay. But once you get past that, you have to put that to the side and then critically analyze the case. And until you have all the facts, I can't look at that video and tell you that it's reasonable. I can't look at that video and tell you that the officer should have done X, Y, Z. So just take a step back, pause and breathe. And then very shortly, I'm sure there's going to be some type of explanation or documentation that comes out about it.
Yep. I totally agree. Guys, watching the show, I know there's a lot of commentary going on out there. You're watching the show for a reason. I have 30 years law enforcement experience, and I've got the best guys in the world on the show, including Danny King. So if you're watching us because, you know, hopefully you're watching us because the experts are on the show giving you expert advice. And even when the experts, we could come here and say, look at our, you know, look at our experience, and we're telling you this is a completely justified shooting, and it's all above board, this and that. And although I'm leaning towards it probably going that way, you know, we're not doing that. We're saying wait until the outcome of the investigation. We could do what the other side's doing, and because our experience level, you know, we know what we're talking about, and especially the guys I have on the show that know more than I do. So, but we're not saying believe that it's a good shoot. We're just saying wait until we get all the facts. But what I am telling you is just that I believe it's going to end up being a justified shoot. And I don't see any, there's certainly nothing definitive saying that it was a bad shoot. So anybody drawing conclusions, like I know we have a user in here saying, you know, the officer, you know, shouldn't shot. Well, Chad Barnes supports law enforcement, but we got John Balding, you know, he loves our law enforcement officers, but I was looking for one. There was one guy that said that, you know, he definitely, you know, shouldn't have shot. Oh, I got Rudy Scala. He was wrong the fire. I'd love to hear why you think he was wrong the fire, because he positively got hit by the car and he was being pushed and drugged back. So I'd love to hear why you think he was wrong the fire. But anyhow, guys, it's time to move on. So Danny, I'm gonna let you pick our next topic. We got about 5 minutes. And we got that domestic violence call that left a civilian and three officers injured and the suspect dead. Is that something that you'd be interested in covering, or did you have a chance to look at that one?
I looked at it briefly, and I also looked at the Henderson PD. I know the sergeant personally, great guy. I know exactly where that OIS happened.
Oh, really? So which one would you prefer to cover?
Let's talk about the Henderson PD one.
Okay. All right. And if we get down really quick, if we do that within 2.5, we can maybe throw in the other one. But rumble.com, this is Butter, our favorite law enforcement video channel. Henderson officers, they shoot a suspect who stole a front loader of all things, tried to run over police vehicles. So look, I'm going to do this quickly in the hopes that we can maybe get two stories in. But we got Henderson Police Department, and this is in Nevada. Okay. You know, they got
Nevada. It's not Nevada.
Okay, Nevada. Okay, well, they have Henderson LV, and I don't know what the LV stands for. So is that Las supposed Vegas. To be like Las Vegas area or whatever? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm in Henderson. Henderson is one of three cities that make up the Vegas Valley. I'm in Henderson right now.
He's coming right at my patrol vehicle. Hey, stop! Stop now! Get on the ground! He's still moving forward to the pole park! Stop right there! Stop! Get on the ground! Stop! Do not move! Henderson police! Do not move!
I've never seen them not use the abbreviations for like the state. But anyhow, this guy, look, he's walking down the street. He jumps a fence and he hot wires this construction vehicle, this front loader, and then he drives it down the street. And now we got a female security guard there that gets into it with him, but he threatens her with a screwdriver. We got a female cop that rolls up, gets out of her car, and she's trying to get the guy to stop, and he starts driving at her, and she ends up firing, I believe it's like 5 rounds at this guy. And then he goes and he drives and he starts hitting her car. We got a male officer, I think it's a sergeant, that pulls up, and he ends up shooting at the guy. The guy ends up getting hit a couple times. The car, the cop cars on top of each other, you know, being lifted by the front loader, they're destroyed. And they end up having to go in to grab the guy, and he's been hit twice, shot twice. He still doesn't want to come in. When they're trying to extract him, they all fall like 7 feet down on the freaking hard pavement. Yeah. And now we got officers going to the hospital, and it was a 2007 Kawasaki front loader. Danny King.
Well, I tell you, just like getting run over by vehicles and pulling guys out of front loaders, it's something that law enforcement officers aren't really trained for. It's just that they're expected to do. You know, imagine you get this call, you see the front loader, you stop, and then all of a sudden he's trying to run you over or run the car over. That's just the kind of bizarre nature of what law enforcement is faced with every day. Now, I can tell you, I worked for the Henderson PD for 24 years. Mm-hmm. I know this officer, I know the sergeant personally. I don't know the officer. She came on after I retired, I believe. But I can tell you that I've never been trained, nor have I ever trained anyone to deal with this particular situation. You know, you just try and apply these rules of thumb to get this person into custody, and it comes to a point in which you can no longer allow this dangerous behavior to continue because it's going to hurt someone. It's going to hurt the officers. It's going to hurt the public. And then the last thing, one of the comments I saw was the number of rounds that were fired. Well, you have to recognize that law enforcement uses rounds that are designed to not overpenetrate. So you're trying to hit a moving target, not easy to do. As soon as that round hits anything, it essentially expands and it's ineffective. So shooting through glass, usually not that effective. Like I said, the sergeant's a rock solid guy. And you know, you just can't ram a car, a police car, especially, with a front loader. So that investigation's underway.
All right. Hey, this next story here, and, Alan Inman, congratulations on winning the free goals, the $50 goals gift card. I'll give that to you at the end of the show, and I'm going to do a screenshot right now just so I have your information. Hey, this next story, you know, there's a lot going on, but if we don't cover it now, we never will. Rumble.com, again, this is Butter. Domestic violence, a DV call leaves a civilian, 3 Rochester police officers injured.
Hello? You good?
Yeah, he's right here.
What are you doing? Watch out.
President Charlie, are you there?
I'm shot.
Yeah, he's right here.
What you doing?
What
you doing?
President Charlie, are you there?
Negative. Here, turn around.
For what?
Hey, man, stop for a second. Stop for a second. Show me your hands.
What you want? I just need to answer something. Ah! Charlie.
I'm shot. He's got a gun. He's going. Ah, lost. I need an ambulance.
I need an ambulance. Get on the fucking ground! Get on the fucking ground!
Suspect's down. I'm holding at lethal. Someone get suspect's down right now.
Here's what happens, guys. We have a DV call, and the cops get there, and the complainant inside, hey, this guy's trying to break in the side of the house. So we got two cops that go to the side of the house. It's narrow. There's like a fence, and you got the side of like this, it's like wood or siding, and you've got a bad guy back there. He's got his hands in his pockets. So you got one cop dealing with him. Another cop comes up behind that cop. It's narrow. And he And he just says, hey, turn around and put your hands behind your back. But no, there's no alarm going off about, hey, hands out of the pockets, or let me see what you have in your pockets or whatever in your hands. So the guy pulls his hands out of his pocket when the cop goes hands on, and the dude starts firing shots. But both cops get hit. Well, the one cop, the first cop in body cam, he goes like running across the street. I'm hit. I've been shot. And then he turns around and comes back and he fires like three strings of fire. Or I should say three shots. And I'm thinking, who's he shooting at? And we're coming up at the end of the show. I'm going to finish this off. There was a civilian that pulled out a gun and started aiming it and firing towards police officers. And so I think that was who he was shooting at. The civilian ended up getting hit. We have another officer that finds this guy. The bad guy escapes after shooting the two cops, and they catch him walking down a sidewalk, and cop tells him, take your hands out of your pocket again. Well, he does. He's got a gun and he shoots that cop. And then he ends up getting shot and killed. So bad guy shot and killed, three cops shot and injured, civilian shot and injured who decided to pull a gun. And I don't know what that was about, whether they're helping out the cops, but they were aiming at the cops. Danny, 15 seconds.
Yeah, it just shows you the chaos of it, right? It's easy to watch the video, kind of sequence it and figure it out. But remember, the patrol officers screaming in there, they're getting all these different types of updates that people are shot. And it's just chaos. It's sad.
Perfect.
But it's
police.com, compliantechnologies.com, aeroprecisionusa, gunlearn.com, medicare.life, safer recruiting, two bells and fish, orlandobass.com. Thank you, Danny King, for being on the show. We'll see you guys back Monday, 12 noon Eastern.